Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
I trust you, Lord. So before we hear anything better, before we see anything better, before we handle anything better, before we come into anything better, by faith, we give you praise. Come on, let's do it. Can you join me in giving him praise? We give you praise for the turnarounds happening in our lives right now in Jesus' name. Yes, glory to God. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Come on. Open your Bibles with me to where we're going. John chapter 14. We've been looking at this in our Thursday night faith calls. This is the same teaching that we had in the three-night meeting, and we've been looking at it throughout this first month of the year, and it's entitled, Be Firm in Faith. Be firm in faith. Now, I always approach the year pursuing and going after what I believe God said to me about the year. And I'm always looking for him to give me what he's saying to me for the three-night meeting at the end of the year. And then when I teach that and release that in those three nights, I don't stop there. I continue in that theme because I always look at it like this. God is looking to cause me to renew my mind in a particular area. So now, like when I hear the phrase, be firm in faith, I don't look at it as him getting on me about not having enough faith, or him, as if God was, he doesn't condemn, but he's at the same time, he's not correcting me for not being in faith. I look at this as a warning. And I look at it as an awareness. He's warning me, Mark, there are going to be some challenges that have come, but you got the goods because I've already given you the faith to overcome it. So, son, I want you to be firm in faith. And then he says, I want you to be aware of this, Mark. Be firm in faith because I am, watch this, progressing you in a way this year, promoting you in a manner this year, and prospering you this year. And so I want you to become firmer in faith. So the things that come with progress, the things that come with promotion, the things that come with prosperity, don't become a distraction to you. Can you see that? So that's how I approach it. And I always take it and I'm listening. And so even as I'm teaching it to you, I'm listening. I'm hearing it myself. I'm hearing it. What are you saying to me, Lord? So I look at it. I look at it as the warning, the prophetic warning. Okay, there are some challenges ahead. But God is saying, I prepared you for it. Now be firm in your faith so that you don't grow discouraged. Mark, be firmer in faith so you don't give in to depression. Mark, be firm in faith, son. I'm telling you what to do before it happens to you. You see what I'm saying? And then the prophetic awareness. Mark, I'm making you aware of something. I'm going to do this year. I'm going to progress you. I'm going to promote you, and I'm going to prosper you. But I don't want the results from that to become a distraction. I want you to be well-equipped and well-empowered, ready to handle it and become responsible for it. So be firmer in your faith to handle the progress. Be firmer in your faith to handle the promotion. Be firmer in your faith to handle the prosperity. And so he's saying those same things to you. And that's why I have stuck with this teaching to help each one of us to be firm in faith. We looked at this already. Let's look at our definition before I read the scripture. We said that, and you know the definition of firmness or to be firm. It's to make something solid, to make something stronger. We said that to be firm is to be strong, and it's to be unwavering. So God want you and I at this place where we become stronger in faith to where we are, watch this, we are unwavering. Nothing is going to cause us to waver. And I know that some of my brothers and sisters this year have already faced something that could have been pulling, something that could have been a distraction, something that could have been discouraging. But I'm saying to you tonight, God wants you to develop your faith to where you become unwavering. God hasn't forgotten how to bless you. I was just sharing with Mario how a lot of this that I teach and I share, I didn't learn this in the good times. I learned this under pressure. I learned this when I was on the verge of throwing in the towel. I learned this with tears in my eyes. I learned this as I was crying out to God when it seemed like, what did I say? When it seemed like the word of God wasn't working for me. And it seemed like, what did I say? It seemed like that my efforts of faith and my obedience to God wasn't producing anything. And all I was getting was the bad from it. All I was getting was the negative. And God was strengthening me. He was letting me know that having faith is stronger than a feeling. Having faith is stronger than just thinking and being positive minded. That we have to understand that faith can cause a state of mind, but faith itself is not a mindset. Faith is a spiritual force. So to be firm means to be strong. It means to make something solid. What else I say to you? I said to be firm is not to be weak. And it's not to be uncertain. If you're being firm in faith, you're not uncertain. And that's one of the things that God dealt with me about and had to deliver me from. That tendency to feel uncertain, to always give in to feelings of uncertainty. Yeah, I used to be there because I measured whether or not my faith was working by my comfort level. And if things were uncomfortable, then I said, it's not working. Something is wrong here. And God had to develop me and strengthen me to where I stopped looking at the strength of my faith through my comfort zone, and I started looking at the strength of my faith through my commitment to the Word of God. Come on, write that down. I must look at the strength of my faith through my commitment to the Word of God and not through my comfort zone, not through my convenience. I must look at the strength of my faith through my commitment to the Word of God and not through my comfort zone or through my convenience. God never promised you that life would be easy. He said His yoke is easy. Being joined with Him, partnered with Him, connected to Him. He didn't say life would be easy. And then I've always taught you all this. I said God calls us overcomers. Well, to be an overcomer, that means that something is coming that you're going to have to get over. So you make up in your mind that you're going to get over it. I'm overcoming this too. I'm conquering this too. And then also if the Bible calls us victors, and that God gives us the victory. Listen, there is never a victory without a battle. And then he also tells us in 1 Timothy 6:12 to fight the good fight of faith. Well, it's a fight, but it's called a faith fight, and a faith fight is always a good fight. But watch this, a faith fight does not feel good to your flesh, because the flesh don't want to be disciplined. The flesh don't want to be told what to do. The flesh don't want to get in the word. The flesh don't, like the emails I'm sending out to you, the flesh don't want to take the time to read them. Oh, that's too long. Why don't he send something short? I'll start sending something short when the devil starts sending something short your way instead of what he's been doing. If you convince the devil to shorten his attack, to shorten his terrorizing you, traumatizing you, testing you, challenging you, if you convince the devil to shorten his, I'll shorten mine. But I tell people all the time, you can't convince the devil. You know, it's like this. I remember I was telling Cheryl this some time ago. I said, Cheryl, look at this. All the churches are going back, are going down to a shorter time. One person told me one time, this was years ago, they say, Pastor Mark, I love your ministry, but I can't come to your church. I said, why not? They say, No. He said, how long is your service? I said, we're about 2 hours. He said, oh, no, that's too long. He said, I go to church and we're out in less than an hour. He says, now you shorten your church service like that, I'll come to you. I'll be a member. I said, no, I don't want you. You're not going to control me like that. Because I told Cheryl, I said, here these churches shortening their service time. I said, but the club's not shortening theirs. And when I was out in the world, now listen, I'm 62 years old. When I was out in the world, I've been saved for about 40 years, 41 years. So when I was out in the world clubbing, so this is 19 and 20 years old, club closed at 2 a.m. They was giving last calls about midnight and 1 a.m. Man, they extended some, stay open to 4 a.m., 6 a.m. all night long. The devil ain't shortening nothing up, but the church is. What kind of mess is that? We're going to cut everything down and say, oh, because, you know, we want the people to keep coming. But they still go to the club. They still go partying all night long. Watch this. After working all day. So they don't make excuses about being tired. After working all day. When this is back in the day, years ago, we knew when ladies' night was. We wanted to make sure we were there for ladies' night. We knew when a certain band was going to be there. After working all day, nobody complained about being tired. And then you ready for this? Then no matter what time, got home early in the morning and then had to get up early in the morning to go to work. Then they say, oh, we're going to do it again tonight. But you know, if you said that about a church, folks say, oh man, no, we're not doing this. And you wonder why many believers are not firm in their faith. Okay, I got to read the scripture. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just diving off into this. And I am going to put my clock on because I'm not going to do y'all like that. I'm not going to keep you here all night. Come on, let's look at the scripture. John chapter 14. And then I believe I didn't mention this part. We said that to be firm means that you're not easily moved. You're not easily moved. You're not easily moved, and you're not easily disturbed. So how firm is your faith? How firm is your faith? Now, I'm going to remind you some things that I've already stated, and then we're going to build on it tonight. Let's read the scripture, John 14, let's start at verse 21. I'm reading from the King James Bible. You follow along in whatever translation you have. It says this, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. This is a passage of scripture that we've been using as our launching pad scripture for this particular teaching series, Be Firm in Faith. We've covered a lot already. I've shared with you the part the Holy Spirit has in this, because it's not just left up to you and I, because God already knows we're imperfect people. He's a perfect God, and it's by His Spirit that He's developing us in His perfection. And so He understands we need His assistance. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. But then He says this also that we got to understand. And if you haven't caught this portion of the teaching, I want you to catch it tonight. When He says here in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, that's also talking about a mindset. A mindset of becoming firm in the word. A mindset about becoming steadfast in the word. A mindset about I'm not backing off of the word. And that's what the devil will do a lot of times. He'll cause situations and circumstances to become tough in your life because, you know, when you're praying, the devil hears your prayers too. You do know that, right? Watch this. He sees you trying to be consistent with God. He sees you trying to believe God at another level. So now he comes at you and challenges you to see, what is your give up point? How much will you take before you quit? He purposes to get you to back off the word, back off your faith, back off your commitment, back off your conviction. He'll come at you with thoughts like, it don't take all of that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to listen to Pastor Mark. It don't take all of that. Because see, you look at this other person over here. You can do it like them. He'll show you other people with less commitment because he's coming after the intensity of your faith. And so he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. That also reveals to us the mindset that we have to have. That when I start out with the word of God, I'm not going to quit in the middle of the process. I'm going to believe God. Let me show you a scripture. Let me show you a scripture. We looked at this scripture. You don't have to turn there. I'll just refer to it. We looked at this already, Luke chapter 11, verse 28. And he says, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus was responding to someone. He says, blessed are they that hear the word and keep it. Well, I say in Jesus' name, that's you and I. We're listening and we're hearing the word, but we're not just hearing the word. We're doers of the word, but we're keeping it too. Man, we're locking down on it. We're being steadfast concerning. We have a conviction. We're not allowing our feelings to interrupt our consistency. Come on, write yourself a note. I will not allow my feelings to interrupt my consistency on standing on the word. I will not allow my feelings to interrupt my consistency to standing on the word. No, because some days you're not going to feel it. Some days you're going to feel like, man, I don't want to hear nothing about the word. That comes to us all, people. Sometimes you're going to have this feeling like, oh, I don't want to confess nothing. I don't want to declare nothing. I just want something good to happen. Won't you just do it, God? Listen, that type of feeling comes to us all. But you got to be at the place where you says, I am not going to allow my feelings to interrupt the consistency of my standing on the word of God. You're not going to do that to me. So Luke 11:28, it says, blessed are they that hear the word and keep it. You got to make up in your mind that you're going to keep it. Now, look at this verse. Here's where I want to take you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, I'm going to try to get to to the places that I believe that I'm supposed to go to tonight. So you got to help me. I need you to pray for me. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 13. Now, this is from the King James Bible. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. Okay. You're not excited as I am. Okay. Now, this verse, excuse me, has a double meaning. First meaning, we can see that it's talking about or referring to the coming of Jesus. Okay, uh-huh. Because that also would be a revelation of Jesus when he's revealed. When he comes in the clouds in the sky, crack those clouds, when he comes and we're all caught up. Okay, we're looking forward to that blessed day. But then the other meaning is when you catch a revelation of Jesus Christ, meaning when you are receiving or you capture a revelation from the word of God. Now, let's read it again with that in mind. Watch this. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. So this, you're going to have to get a mindset. That you gird up the loins of your mind. This is not being weak-minded. This is not being double-minded. This is being focused-minded. That when I stand on this word, when I stand on this scripture, God has either spoken to me in my prayer time and given me my own personal rhema word, or God is speaking to me through his written word, the Logos, and I got a word from God. So he says, okay, now, gird up the loins of your mind. You got a word for me? Gird up the loins of your mind. Watch this. Be sober. Now, right there is letting you know that you got to be alert. You got to, as the old folks used to say, you got to hunker down. You got to settle into it. I remember when we first got married. She don't do this no more. I haven't seen one of these in a long time. But when we first got married, and Cheryl was teaching me how to make a cake, or I was watching her make a cake, and then I was going to try to, you know, replicate that and make one. And she had one of them flour sifters, you know, and some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Those flour sifters. You brothers who haven't cooked, you just keep listening. But she had a flour sifter. And it sifted the flour. But when you wanted, if you was putting in something, and you wanted to get more in, you had to kind of hit it on the shelf, on the counter, hit that jar or that canister, so that all the flour can settle in, all the air can be removed, and it's compact and settle in. That's how you have to do with the word. See, sometimes we get excited about the word, but we don't settle into it. We don't allow that word to knock out all the holes in our believing. Are y'all with me so far? You got to settle into it. Hunker down. Become steadfast in it. Okay, so he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Now, to be firm in faith, you're going to have to learn to be sober about your believing. And things are happening now in the world and in your sphere of influence that it'll seem like the challenges that we're facing have become more intense, more heavier. Things are happening. And when they happen, man, they happen, bam. Well, you're going to have to be sober. Because the adversary understands that his time is winding up. He don't have much time left. And he's doing his best and working hard to convince you that you need to stop believing. He's trying to convince you and persuade you to give up. He's trying to convince you and persuade you to let go. You don't have to trust God no more. You don't have to go all out. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be consistent. You don't have to follow through. He's coming at you. It seemed like discouragement attacks are getting heavier. But you got to understand, you got the goods. You got the Spirit of God. You got the Word of God. You got the name of God. You got the grace of God. You got the anointing of God. You got the blood of God. You got the favor of God. You got the love of God. You got the peace of God. Are you listening to me? You got the goods. Okay. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. And then it says this, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So with this revelation that I have from the Word of God, it's carrying a grace for me since I caught that word. Stay with me, please. That word grace there can be interchanged with the word anointing. It can also be interchanged with the word favor. Oh, yes. There's a favor taking place for me because I caught hold of a revelation I won't let go of. I'm going to be firm in this thing. I'm being firm for the grace. I'm being firm for the favor. I'm being firm for the anointing that's coming through. So this grace, this favor, this anointing is taking place on me and with me and through me to cause me to be promoted, to progress, to prosper, to be preserved, to be provided for, and to be protected in Jesus' name. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that comes with the living word of God, Jesus, and the written word of God. You with me? So we talked about this. I want to introduce that to you, but let's look at some things we already talked about real quick here. Glory to God. We looked at the different measures of faith. Now go with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. That was 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Another part of the scriptures we looked at in this teaching already. And look what it says here. Let's start at verse 8. Again, I'm reading from the King James Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You with me? Watch this. Here it is. Be sober. Look what Peter says again. Be sober. You think he's trying to get something across to her? We just saw it in chapter 1. He said, be sober. Now here it is in chapter 5. Be sober. Now we all know that when they wrote this, it wasn't chapters and verses. It was just one letter. So in this letter, he's indicating the seriousness that the church, these Christians, will have to take when it came to choosing to be sober about believing God. See, a lot of Christians, they play games when it comes to believing God. They want things to be easy. They don't want to work at anything. They don't want to allow God to cause them to become firmer in what they believe. They don't cooperate with God. I was just sharing with the brother over here, Brother Mario. And I was sharing with him how the things I've learned, a lot of the things I share with y'all and that I teach, I learned under pressure. And I remember when I just knew I believed the word, or so I thought. I kept saying, Lord, I believe your word, or so I thought. But watch this. My believing was so weak that a distraction threw me. If something happened, and it was a major distraction, I was off. And that, man, I was off the platform of what I was believing God for, because now that distraction became the central focus of all my energy, my thought, and now I'm upset because I got to deal with this thing. And so I was on an emotional roller coaster ride, sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes high. Oh man, I love the Lord, but sometimes low. I don't know where God is. That's how I lived. And God had to deal with me about becoming sober-minded. I'm gonna challenge you to look up the definition of sober-mindedness and then really look at it. And look up scriptures about being sober-minded. I can't do all our homework. You got to look this up yourself. Being sober-minded and what it all entails. And then begin praying into that and asking God to help you to become more sober-minded. Look what it says. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be on alert. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for folks. He can't just take folks at his will. He's looking for those who are weak in their faith, who's questioning their faith because of circumstances, situations, trouble, challenges, affliction, different things that's taking place. Are you following me? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And then look at verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, or he could have said, whom resist by the firmness of your faith. You following me? God said, be firm in faith. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now let's you got to see this now. Being steadfast in the faith means there's no inconsistency. There's no such thing as getting tired. What you mean getting tired? We ain't getting tired. We believe in God. We're resisting the devil. The longer the devil attacks, the longer we will resist him. Devil, if it's a fight you want, it's a fight you got. Come on with it. That's how you have to be. I'm not relenting. I'm not backing up. I'm not backing off. God said he's my healer. He has promised healing for my body. And as for me and my house, we are the healed and not the sick. If it's a fight you want, it's a fight you got. Come with it. And that's how you have to be. God is my provider. The Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So since he said I shall not want, I say I shall not want. I'm not backing off. Devil, if it's a fight you want, it's a fight you're going to get. Come with it. And you can't back down. I'll be declaring and decreeing. I said, Lord, you said you're my shepherd and I shall not want. So I say it in Jesus' name. Me and Cheryl don't want. We don't want for money. We don't want for new clothes. We don't want for this. We don't want for that. We don't want for all expense paid vacation. We don't want. Man, I'm declaring it. I'm not listening to my head. I'm not listening to my reasoning. Remember what the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Stop leaning and start standing. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Wow. All right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just reminding you of some things. Now, one of the things that will cause you to become more firm in faith is your conviction. See, faith is acting on the word. It's acting on, I'm going to act on the word. So, Pastor Mark, if I'm believing God for finances, for example, how do I act on the word in that particular area? Well, number one, I don't act worried. I don't act frustrated. I don't act fretful. You following me? I don't act scared. If I'm believing God and acting on his word in the area of him providing finances, then I understand God is my source, and now I'm going to operate in his peace concerning that. And now so I will begin living a lifestyle of thanksgiving as I'm thanking him for providing for me in that particular area. And when you come and ask me, Pastor Mark, how's everything going? If you really want to know, I'm going to tell you. everything is going this way where God is moving for me. I'm thanking him for doing this, thanking him for doing that, thanking him. And so other people are going to hear your thanksgiving, not your complaint. Am I making sense? Are you, well, not, am I making faith is what I want to make. Am I making faith? Are you getting this? Okay. So faith is acting on the word of God. But watch this. It's a conviction on the word that adds firmness to your faith. It's a conviction. And I believe I shared this with you before. A conviction is a spiritual force that is birthed from a truth, the word of God, that has become real to you regardless of anything that says otherwise. A conviction. A firmness in my believing that generates a consistent course of action that I won't back away from. A conviction. It's a spiritual force birthed from a truth, from the word of God. It's where I make the word of God real to me. And the reality of that word becomes more real than my mountain. The devil wants me to make the mountain and the problem real rather than making the word of God real. No, I got a conviction about the word. Are you listening? See, we're not playing games with believing. We're understanding that I'm doing what the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Amen. So a conviction is a spiritual force birthed from a truth that you caught from the word of God, and now that truth from that word has become real to you, and you've made it your reality, and no devil from hell can beat it out of you with a baseball bat. Praise the name of Jesus. All right. Now, let me show you something else I want you to see tonight. Glory to God. This was worth your connecting tonight. This was worth your connecting. We looked at this last week. Go with me down to Luke 8 real quick. Luke 8, verses 22 through 25. We looked at this last week, and I want to take you back there. Verse 22, I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sakes. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he, Jesus, went into a ship. This is from the New King James Version, with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Now, what did Jesus want them to do? To go to the other side of the lake. So his word was out. Verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and water, and they obey him. Now, Jesus asked them, where is your faith? But Jesus got up from being asleep, and he released his faith. But he asked his disciples, where is your faith? But even though he was asleep, Jesus woke up and released his faith. But look what the disciples called it. Look back at verse 25 again. He said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth. He commandeth. He commanded even the winds and water, and they obey him. He woke up commanding something to obey him, and he expected to be obeyed. When you're being firm in faith, listen, your commands become stronger. Oh, you got to hear me. No. See, some people, some church folk, when they hear the word, oh, your command, your decree got to be stronger, they start yelling. We're not talking about you screaming. We don't want to hear you shouting and yelling like that. It don't take all of that. Your command becomes stronger because your conviction is stronger. It's just like, you know, some parents, I ain't going to say some parents. When Cheryl and I was raising our kids, I'm just going to talk about us. When Cheryl and I was raising our kids, and if we were somewhere public, and they thought about acting up and start looking like, and we knew them, we knew what they was going to do, all we had to do was, and Cheryl would say this, kind of in a low tone voice, only to her and the kids can hear, if you don't get over here now, they knew what that meant. They knew that mama gonna tear me up. Listen, Cheryl didn't shout. Her words had power behind them. Watch this. They had a conviction. And the children knew she wasn't playing. Could it be that what you've been facing don't believe you because you don't believe you? Think about that for a moment. Because if you really believe you, then you would never second guess you. You would never second guess what you're doing. You would never second guess your prayer. You would never second guess your God. You would never second guess God's word to you. You following me? Could it be that the things you've been facing are still intense and there because they don't believe you, because you don't believe you? You're trying something, like the seven sons of Sceva, trying to cast the devil out of a man that says, we adjure you in the name that Paul uses. And the demon spoke to let him know, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. The demons recognized Jesus' authority, recognized Paul's authority. But then he asked the seven sons of Sceva, but who are you? So when God, it was, you know, back in the days he's developing me, and he's showing me why things are not responding to me, why life isn't responding to me, why my problems, the pressures, the pains in my body, why they're not responding to me, why they're lingering. He said, they don't believe you because you don't believe you. I said, huh? What do you mean they don't believe me? He said, Mark, because you don't believe you. He said, you second guess yourself, you second guess me, you second guess my word, you second guess what I have you to do. He says, if it's up to you and it takes too long to take place, you start doubting that it's ever going to happen. He said, you don't believe you. So he said, demons don't believe you, and the things in life, meaning physical, natural things, don't believe you neither. Could it be that what you've been going through and what you've been facing don't believe you? Because you don't believe you, you're trying something, but you haven't become convicted behind it. You haven't become firm or firmer in your faith. So the other thing that I wanted you to see from that, Jesus asked them, where is your faith, guys? Where is your faith? In other words, Jesus was saying, why were you persuaded not to use your faith? Jesus was asking them, why were you persuaded to not use your faith? And then we could look at another question that was packed into that question of Jesus's, where he said, where's your faith? He could have also been asking them, why did you think that your faith wouldn't work? So here's something that you have to understand. Number one, you ready? You ready to write? Number one, a spiritual principle can't work if you don't work it. A spiritual principle can't work if you don't work it. Watch this. Here's the other part to it. And working it requires my consistency and my determination. So number one again is a spiritual principle can't work if you don't work it. And working it requires my consistency and my determination. Number two. A spiritual force can't be released until you release it. A spiritual force can't be released until you release it. One more time. A spiritual force can't be released until you release it. And it won't be released until you capture the revelation that you have the authority to release it. And it won't be released until you capture the revelation that you have the authority to release it. Wow. And then finally, number three. A spiritual truth can't be realized until you catch it. A spiritual truth can't be realized until you catch it. One more time. A spiritual truth can't be realized until you catch it. And you won't catch it when something else or someone else has your focus. You won't catch it when something else or someone else has your focus. So one of the things Jesus showed us in that Luke 8 passage of scriptures, he showed us that faith can dominate over the storms of life. Faith can dominate over the storms of life. But, you know, he revealed to us it requires, remember what I pointed out, Jesus woke up from sleeping hard and woke up releasing his faith. Look back at the scripture, Luke 8, look back at the scripture. Let's look at this again, verse 22, one more time. Luke 8, 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forward. Now he said to them, watch this. He said to them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. Listen, please. And he expected them to go. Now, what I'm trying to show you is the way you develop a conviction with your faith, you have to get to the place where you're only going to speak things daily that you want to happen. See, you got to understand, you can't use words loosely, and then when you want to get serious about God, oh, now I'm praying some accurate words. No, it's coming out the same mouth, and it's coming from the same heart. So Jesus never wasted words. Are you with me? And you and I, we have to get to the place where we stop wasting words. Learn to use your words on purpose. And as you build that, then things in life will respond to your words because of your consistency. I mean, I'll never forget when God told me, He said, Mark, I'm praying for my healing. I'm praying for my healing. I'm praying for my healing, man. I'm praying. Lord, I'm declaring, by his stripes I'm healed. By his stripes I'm healed. And God told me, he said, Mark, your body is disobeying your words. I said, what? You got to understand, y'all. Because I was going to a church. They wasn't teaching me like this. And here God is training me. He says, your body is disobeying your words because you're not consistent. And then he showed me the example of raising my kids. He says, how consistent do you have to be in raising your kids? I said, I have to be consistent all the time. Even when I'm playing with them, they know when I'm playing, we're playing, we're having a good time. But then they know when daddy means something. They know when daddy is instructing them. They know when daddy is directing them. They know when, are you following me? And he says, you have to become more serious. The scripture we looked at tonight said sober. You have to become more serious with your words, son. And man, I got serious. But you want to know why? Because I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got tired of living in pain. I wanted my body to respond to my words. And man, I went to work. And I had to watch what I said every day. I wasn't going to waste words, man. That's why the Bible talks about no foolish talking and no jesting and all like that. It's not that God don't want you to have fun. God wants you to understand that your mouth is an arsenal. Jesus, I give you praise. It's a weapon. And just like you can't go around playing with a gun, if you had a gun, you know, a Glock 9, you're not going to be twirling it around and walk around playing with it. Man, that thing's serious. And God wants you to be that serious with your words of your mouth. Okay. He expected them to go to the other side. Verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him saying, Master, Master, we perish. Jesus didn't say that they were perishing. They did. Jesus didn't say we're perishing. He said we're going to the other side. They said they're perishing because of what they sought. Excuse me. They said that because of what they saw, because of what they felt, and what they were experiencing at the moment. We're about to die, Jesus. Jesus, wake up. Where is your faith, man? Why have you allowed this storm to convince you not to use your faith? Why have you allowed this storm to cause you to think that your faith wouldn't work? Jesus got up, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And then he inquired of them, where is your faith, man? Brothers, y'all been with me all day. I've been teaching this. Where is your faith? I taught you that the sower sows the word. Where is your faith? And they wandered one to another, talked amongst themselves. What kind of man is this? For he commands the winds and water, and they obey him. And you know what they didn't get from that? Jesus asked them, where is your faith? He literally told them, you could have done the same thing if only you would have been intentional with your faith. They didn't see that. And could it be that with all that God has taught you and what the Holy Spirit has revealed unto you, that there are some things you're not seeing? So let's end tonight with this. Did you get blessed tonight? Let's end tonight with this. In this particular situation, Jesus reveals something that we all should know. Number one, he reveals that the storms of life require deliberate, intentional acts of faith. The storms of life, when they happen, and they happen to us all, they require deliberate, intentional acts of faith. Number two, I just have four of them and we're done. Number two. Now, we see Jesus asking them, where is your faith? So by him asking them, where is your faith? It's obvious now that the disciples had the capacity of faith to stop the storm, but they didn't do it. So number two is this, what Jesus reveals to us. In every storm of life, we have the capacity of faith to attack our situations and overcome them by faith. In every storm of life, we have the capacity of faith to attack our situations and overcome them by faith. Okay? And then number three. Jesus also revealed in this passage that the storms of life will paralyze you from acting in faith if you believe in the reality of the storm over the reality of the Word of God. Wow. Jesus was revealing that the storms of life will paralyze you from acting in faith if you believe in the reality of the storm over the reality of the Word of God. Glory to God. Man, this is good stuff, man. You want it one more time? Okay, one more time. Jesus revealed that the storms of life will paralyze you from acting in faith if you believe in the reality of the storm over the reality of the Word of God. And then finally, number four. What else did Jesus show us from this passage? If you're not deliberate in acting against the storm by attacking it, the storm will be deliberate against you to defeat you and destroy you. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. If you're not deliberate in acting against the storm by attacking it, the storm will be deliberate against you to defeat you and destroy you. One more time. If you're not deliberate in acting against the storm by attacking it, How did Jesus attack the storm? He spoke to it. If you're not deliberate in acting against the storm by attacking it, the storm will be deliberate against you to defeat you and destroy you. Wow. Listen. The storm had the strength of the winds and the waves. All Jesus had was the strength of his words. Glory to God. So now you see why God told us, be firm in faith. He already prepared us. He warned us that some things are going to be happening. And then he also made us aware of the promotions, the progress, and the prosperity that would take place. And he says, I don't want you to be distracted by what it produces. So be firm in faith. And so that's my challenge to you. Father, we give you praise tonight. We glorify you and magnify you for your word. Thank you for what you opened our eyes to see tonight. Thank you for what you opened our ears and caused us to hear tonight. Thank you for you using your word to renew our minds, to cause a conviction, a firmness to come to our faith. Father, I continue to pray, open our eyes that we may see more, see further. Open our ears to hear even more accurately than what we heard tonight. And then cause this word that was received tonight to resonate on the inside of us, to bring transformation, to bring demonstration, and to cause manifestations like never before in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I speak strength to all of our foundation, all of our foundation of faith, our foundation of believing you, our foundation of trusting you, so that no one will give in.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.